Hello and welcome to my Money Manifesto for Monday, the 16th of February 2015. I'm Jeremy Deeds, Financial Life Planner with over 25 years' experience in financial services, author of Right Money, Right Place, Right Time, and founder of Planning for Life and Living Money. And each month I take as a theme a stage of my programme for developing a life and a financial plan. And this month, February, we're looking at the last stage, enlightenment, and that's the enlightenment that really comes from executing your plan. And this week I want to talk about a specific aspect of this, about this whole thing about enlightenment. And it really centres around wealth and what we mean by wealth and how wealthy we feel. So perhaps I can ask you to consider for a moment if you feel wealthy. If you do, is it a comfort to you? Or do you live keeping one eye over your shoulder, looking for the demons that are going to snatch your wealth from under your nose? And conversely, if you don't consider yourself wealthy, is your life centered around becoming wealthy, on earning more, saving more, dreaming of a life of wealth and luxury? Perhaps so, we should be asking ourselves a more profound question relating to the true meaning of wealth. And understanding this question has, I have found, really helped people achieve far greater happiness and freedom than simply asking them to quantify their wealth. And two events brought this home to me last week. In the first, I caught sight of a newspaper article talking about home millionaires, people with £1 million-plus properties who don't actually feel wealthy or free to do what they want. Now, frankly, being asset rich and cash poor, or as the newspaper article put it, bricks rich and cash poor, is not new. I've been dealing with it for years. And I know I've talked about this example before, but I think it's worth repeating. Back in the 80s, I saw a Leeds couple who had just retired and who had put so much money into their house, which was a beautiful house. They had, in fact, built for themselves a gilded cage, and they had no free cash to live a life at all. In fact, they couldn't even find the money to go and visit their daughter in Australia because it had all gone into their property. The other event last week was a talk given by a friend of mine, Nick Hyam, a retired headmaster, who last autumn had walked the 800-kilometre Camino de Santiago, the ancient pilgrim route from southern France to Santiago de Compostela in northwest Spain. And for his journey, he had shed everything except a small rucksack with no more than a spare pair of socks and a few spare clothes. He walked alone or with fellow pilgrims, he had no plans, and he slept in huts or churches, circumstances dictated. He talked about how he had shed his physical baggage, even if only temporarily, and found it so therapeutic. He talked about how he had replaced it with a far deeper and a richer spirituality. He described how at times he'd find himself in tears for no specific reason. And ultimately, he described how walking the way, at times in solitary silence, at times with fellow pilgrims, had added real depth to his life. So, question, who had felt wealthier? My retired couple in Leeds trapped in their gilded cage, or the pilgrim who shed everything for a while, went on a journey and finished with a greater understanding of himself and his fellow human beings. In his introduction, Nick talked about the great spiritual yearning in society today, a yearning he had found in his fellow travellers of all faiths and no faith. Indeed, finding a deeper wealth than financial or property wealth was a key motivation for so many of those he met on the way. And in my book, I devote a whole chapter to this question of the true meaning of wealth because it is so important. I write in depth about using the power of financial life planning to provide time and money to develop ourselves through leaving the comfort of our homes to make a journey. And in my own case this year, I have plans to travel, including skiing and walks around North Yorkshire with friends, a 200-mile cycle ride for charity, and probably most important, another trip to Lourdes to look after the sick and disabled for a week in the summer. And all those I find will give me a far greater wealth than my investment portfolio. Perhaps I can wind up this little monologue with one of my favourite quotes from my friend Lisa Damon. She once wrote, "In this world, we are living through a time of both great darkness and great light. We have war and corporate control alongside a great spiritual emergence. It's time to choose which collective timeline you want to take." So if I can finally finish with a little bit about my businesses. Planning for Life is a fully authorised financial planning business in which I work with selected clients on a one-to-one basis for the long term. Living Money is a coaching and training organisation specialising in personal finance. It's not authorised to provide financial advice and does not recommend financial products. Instead, it aims to provide you with the tools and skills to buy the right financial products yourself to best serve your life and money. Both businesses aim to work with busy entrepreneurial and professional families, and at their heart is Future, my six-step program that brings relief from sleepless nights worrying about money and secures the lifestyle you want as quickly and as efficiently as possible. I'm known by my advised clients as a planner who puts life back into money, and my mission is to leave my clients feeling liberated. So if you want to transform your life and finances, start by joining the Living Money community. Go to our website, www.living-money.com, and become a fledgling member to get access to a range of resources to help you plan your life and money. Well, that's it from me this week. Until next week, stay well and go well.